John is an amazing storyteller. You heard the story of the Samaritan woman last week, and you heard this story this week, and all these stories are very, very powerfully scripted. He's brilliant in the way he lets the plot develop, the way he brings people to faith. Just truly amazing. John, not just in these stories, but in all of his entire gospel, he has only one purpose in mind. And his purpose is that you may come to believe. He wants his readers, the world, to know that Jesus is indeed the Messiah. There is only one problem: blindness. Now, his deeper point might be what is harder for us to accept, that the blind person in the story is not the man who's physically blind. And you might say, yes, we get the irony. His story is clear. The real blind people in the story are the Pharisees, who, even though they have physical sight, do not see. Actually, John is making an even more poignant point, that the real blind person might be you or I. There are different kinds of blindnesses, and I just want to focus on three of these. First, let's talk about spiritual blindness. There are many people across the globe who do not believe in Jesus as the Savior, as the Messiah, and intentionally, they've made a choice. And we can ask ourselves, should we call them blind? I personally think that we have no control over the choices that other people make when it comes to faith. The only thing that we can control is the blindness within us. But then again, you might say, but I have come to believe in Jesus. Could I still be blind? So let me propose these instances of blindness. Spiritual blindness. See, Jesus teaches us that all the commandments can be summarized under two commandments: love God with all your heart, with everything within you, and love your neighbor as yourself. I can love God with all my heart and yet be blind to my neighbor. It's a kind of blindness, spiritual blindness. Jesus teaches us to love even those who hate us. It is blindness to refuse to see the wisdom of Christ's words and continue to hate anyway. Hatred causes blindness. All the violence that we see across the country, it's blindness that hatred can solve any of our problems. Jesus teaches us not to judge people, because what judgment does is it makes us blind to who the person really is, what their inner worth is. Judgment blinds us, and yet we do it anyway. Jesus teaches us to gather treasures in heaven instead of treasures on earth. And yet we put a lifetime of effort gathering treasures on earth and still think we can see. Jesus teaches us to reject violence, and yet we can blindly seek revenge and justify violence. So really, I have no control over people who believe in Jesus or not. All I have control over is, am I seeing in the way Jesus sees? And to the extent that I either fail or do not align my life with that of Jesus, I choose to be blind. Spiritual blindness. But there's a second kind of blindness which is so telling of our own contemporary times. It's the blindness that comes from our gadgets. Did you know, I don't know if you heard this in the news, but there's a new kind of medical emergency. It's called walk crashing. I don't know if you heard this or not. You know, car crashes that happen because people are on their cell phones? People are getting into emergency rooms because they are walking with their heads down. Women laugh at this, but this is serious. And they are crashing into walls, into doors, into people, into objects, falling into ditches, going off the sidewalk, hitting electric poles. And people then head to the emergency. Experts tell us that when our feet and our fingertips are so busy, our eyes become temporarily blind as far as the peripheral vision is concerned. So people walk crash into objects and other people. So wherever you go, at restaurants, airports, public places, even in church before Mass begins, people are staring into their gadgets. And the question we ask ourselves is, what are we not seeing when we are buried in our gadgets? What are we not seeing? I think we become blind to ourselves. The biggest issue with gadgets is that people are losing their memory power. When you were a kid, how many cell phones did you know? How many phone numbers did you know? Almost everybody's. How many phone numbers do you remember now? What is it that we don't see? What are we blind to when we have our heads down in our gadgets? We become blind to our inner selves. We pray less, we reflect less, we remember less, and we know less about ourselves. Also, we become blind to the God within us because we are not in touch. Where's the time? We always say, where is the time to pray, because we are so busy. And an average person spends at least 2 hours on the phone every day. Where's the time? We have the time, but we are not in touch with our God. Also, we become blind to other people's needs when we bury ourselves in our gadgets. I don't know what's going on around me. So my prayer this week is, dear Lord, let me not go blind while I stare into my cell phone. It's my prayer. Third kind of blindness. I want to return to this blind man in the gospel. See, he was a man with a disability, huh? He had a disability. Not only was his disability considered a curse from God, but after his healing, the Pharisees were upset that he was healed on the Sabbath rather than feel happy for him. Can you imagine a man who's born blind is healed, and they are more concerned about the fact that he was healed on the Sabbath, and they're upset. They couldn't feel happy for this man. Now, what does Jesus do? Jesus does a couple of things. First of all, he refused to attribute his disability to God. It's not God who did this to him. But secondly, Jesus engaged him. Jesus talked to him. Jesus touched his eyes. Sense of touch, very important. Jesus led him to faith and finally offered him salvation. So Jesus engages his entire self, his body and his soul. Folks, I don't think we reflect too much about this, at least I haven't heard this preached from the pulpit, but how do we, our society and our church, take care of people with disabilities? Especially if you have somebody at home, if you have a cousin or somebody in the family who's disabled, then you understand the struggles. For the normal person, we don't see these people at all. To find employment, and I'm talking to a very young person who has cerebral palsy and is just confined to her wheelchair, and she just can't get employment. And because she was refused employment, her spirits are so down, so low. She feels that life is closing in on her, merely 26 years old. To find employment, to find friends, not to give in to despair, to feel valued, these are not easy for a person with disability or their family members. But as Jesus says, God does not love a disabled person any less. God does not value a disabled person any less. In John's story, really, now the story becomes very interesting. It's not just the blind man who needed healing, it's the people around. So yes, the people with disability, it'd be great if they could be healed and they would. But perhaps it's the people around the people with disability that need healing. It's we who need healing, so we may see the needs of those with disability. And not just disability. What about aged people? How many elderly people are so alone in homes, in nursing homes? The poor who live on the peripheries, the immigrants, the refugees. We can be blind to them and their needs. Dear Jesus, heal our blindness. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see, people of God said.